Hello, everyone. This is your host, Ravinda, at our new show on MZN Indie Radio called Minding Our Black Business. And before I introduce our guest, let me explain to you, since this is our first episode for Minding Our Black Business, what it is all about. Minding Our Black Business is a show that concentrates on all the information and resources that are necessary for Black-owned businesses who are looking for new ways to expand their businesses, find ways to fund their businesses, learn about new resources out there, and learning how to manage a business from experts that we will bring on to the show. We will also talk about equipment that you need. We'll talk about locations, marketing, branding, all those great things that help make a perfect business. What we would like to do is to have people on who are currently experiencing either growth or loss from the COVID-19 crisis, because there's a lot of information out there that some people aren't getting, so that they can help improve their business or, you know, reinvent their business, because some people have actually had to close their business because of COVID-19. Now that the country is getting back on its feet somewhat because of, you know, things that have happened with vaccines and boosters and businesses opening back up, a lot of people are trying again to run their business or to open it back up. And we want to bring on some people who can help with that. Okay, so today we have our wonderful guest, Amber Hawkins, otherwise known as the Computer Lady. She's going to come on and work with us on a lot of things we need to know about computers. She's going to discuss her background, her expertise, and some other activities that are taking place in her life because she's been so very successful about this. Now, I'm not a computer whiz. I only know a little bit of things, so I'm going to let her do all the talking and let you know. And if anybody out there is listening and has any questions, feel free to call us. And, you know, we're not going to open up the chat room, but we will make it available for you to call in. If you do want to call in, you can use the number 515-605-9722. And with that, I'm going to introduce my guest, Miss Amber Hawkins. Hi, Amber. How you doing?
Hello there. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well, and I'm glad to have you on the show. It's been quite some time. We both started off here at Blog Talk way over 10 years ago, so I've known you for a pretty long time, and I appreciate you coming on to the show today.
Well, I count it an honor, Ravinda, and I also thank you as well for the opportunity to do this. And hi, everybody. I miss y'all. It has been, as she mentioned, a little over 10 years, but yet we're still around.
Oh, yeah. Blog Talk has been a really benefit to anybody who likes to do a podcast, you know, of all the equipment, online equipment it gives you and exposure that it gives you. And there's so many people on there now since when we first started. And, you know, I'm grateful for that. So that's why I just keep coming back, what I call the first podcast home for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for many of us it was, as you said. If we were interested in doing it, this was where we started on as we affectionately know it as BTR.
Yeah, when it first started, it was Frida.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Free. You could do it as often as you want to or as little as mm-hmm. you wanted to.
Yeah, they making their money now, so.
Understandable.
Well, give me a minute. I'm going to try to put some music in our background. They have some new features on here. And since you didn't, you know about that. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to use that one. Yeah, it just have to work. All right. So, let me first start with having you introduce yourself again and just giving us a little bit about your background.
Well, again, my name is Amber Hawkins, hailing out of Toledo, Ohio, born, bred, and raised, middle of three girls. I'm the middle sister. I have one older sister in Pennsylvania and youngest sister here in Toledo, Ohio. We had a brother, but he passed some years ago, and my parents passed some years ago as well. I remember pretty much a very loving upbringing, two parents. I was eight and a half years, an only child, and then my sister was born around then, so there's about almost 8.5, 9 years difference. Grew up, again, loving, fun childhood, education, very important, of course, getting that schoolwork done, doing what you need to do to keep the grades up. That was the belief since my mom was a principal, and my father, he was a bus driver. When it comes to punctuality, he was the one, you know, if when we both entered into the work world, they say if you be there a certain time and clock in a certain time, you be there 10 minutes before you need to clock in. He was that type of person. And thanks for his service, he also served in the Army. Teenage years, I went to Catholic high school. My sister went to a regular school. I was the only black female in this high school that I went to. So yes, I was able to survive that, and I also made it through National Honor Society and graduated back in the early 80s. And then from there, transitioned to college. It was called Findlay College at the time, but it's now University of Findlay, which is about an hour away from Toledo, Ohio. So if probably not a familiar town to many people. If there are those of you who probably traveled, let's say, to Columbus or at one time or another, that's a town you have to go through first. So Findlay is one of those small towns you have to go through first in order to get to Columbus, Ohio. which is that type of town. Graduated from there, went into the work world, in everything as far as social work is concerned. That's how I started. Then after that, experienced layoffs, went back to school, got my master's in, which was a new field at the time called educational technology, from the University of Toledo. There were three different opportunities to gain it, either via library, human resources specification, or school curriculum. I went through the human resources specification realm so I can do as far as training in the work world. Had various positions and ran into some slumps. Then through, I think, more than five layoffs that I can remember. And I was stuck in between with, you know, how in the world could I go through, gain master's and all that, but experience layoffs. So a friend of mine told me about a program here in Toledo in which you, if you want to learn to become a business owner, you can go through it. Here called Access Toledo. So went through that, got my small business certificate around 2004. So I said, after some praying and all of that, I would start my business. So in 2005, I decided to, quote unquote, open the doors of Your Computer Needs of Toledo LLC. And hadn't looked back since. Had some ups and downs. That does come with the small business world, but the goal is to not to give up and to keep going. So that's pretty much a synopsis of how that was as far as in the BTR realm. That was back around like 2009, something like that, I think. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. So it was a way to expand, you know, what I did, and also talked about different things computer technology wise. It was so much fun.
It sure was.
I do plan to come back.
Oh, that's great. It would be wonderful for you to come back.
Yeah, I just got to check out some things, but yeah, I do. I've been trying to make a comeback for quite a while, but sometimes life and things happen, as we all know. But that's still the goal.
Well, I'm going to put a little plug in for BTR just to let you know that even when we go on a hiatus and, you know, we still have our account there and we're just not doing shows, people can still download the shows or listen whenever they want to. So I was surprised to find out I had over 170,000 listens. And a lot of them were during the time that I took a little break from 2011 until, I guess, just about now. People were still listening to the old shows. And I realized that when they show you the map of where your people are that listen to you, it had expanded to, like, the Middle East and Africa and Asia and Latin America and the Mediterranean. I was just really surprised that people all over the world were listening to, you know, some of the shows that I did. I think I did like 180 shows or something like that. But even when I thought nothing was going on, because I wasn't on, people were still listening. So that's the good thing about Blog Talk, because I don't know if any of these other platforms continue to, you know, allow you to have all that where people are still listening.
Right, that I don't know either. That's a nice surprise, and that's a nice shock too. So
right, still
when
on
I
Apple.
Have a chance, I have to check. And on the Apple too. Wow, that's something.
Yeah, Blog Talk
put check
you
to
on Apple.
See if I still got any listens or not.
You should check it out because they put you on Apple, and then I have some links to I can send you when you get started again that can put you on Amazon Music and Spotify too.
Oh wow, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, so let me just go backtrack a little bit. First of all, what was it that intrigued you about getting into computers when you decided to go to college?
I think it was my love for them. It was something that interested me. I had wanted to learn about them, and it was around that time, too, when it was the changeover from the typewriter to the computer. And there was, I remember hearing talk about that transition going to happen, so you might as well start learning computers and all of that. So I would say probably the most advanced piece of machinery at that time was one of those electronic typewriters, which I have to admit at times I still miss. But that was kind of sort of an introduction to it, to computers. So when I went into undergrad college, they really didn't have too many typewriters around. The classes we had to take were on computers. So you necessarily didn't have a choice to, you know, if you wanted to take some time to transition from the typewriter to the computer. Excuse me. The computer was right there, like, boom, here you go. But they did offer classes and learning how to use them because they were fairly new at the time. And it was a new machinery to everyone. It's like, okay, how do you do this? How do you do that? Whatever. And come to find out, in learning computers, how much easier, especially to correct mistakes. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And all of that. And I was quite excited at the time. So the, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you remember when they had WordPerfect?
Yes.
On the computer.
I remember that.
When we didn't really have.
I remember that, the DOS and everything else, yeah.
We didn't have actual Word like we have now, but we had a whole platform called WordPerfect, which is where we did all our, you know, letters and things like that.
Yep.
That was crazy because I had to teach a class in WordPerfect of senior citizens, and it was so challenging to learn about a computer and to have to work on WordPerfect at the same time.
Right. Yeah, that, because at the time, that was more on a, what would be called like an IBM or PC platform. Mm-hmm. The college that I went to, they had the Apple Macintosh, like the Apple Writer 3 and all that. That's what it was called at the time. So a lot of my computer beginnings were on an Apple Macintosh. The it was later on that they brought on some PC computers, but that was my first learning of it. And also in that, I didn't go really deep into the technical side of things, but at the same time, any of us who wanted to go into that field, we had to take some classes that introduce you to some of the technical terms. Now, at first, I didn't go straight computer realm because in undergrad, I graduated as far as in Spanish and social work. However, I still made sure I kept my computer skills up to par because also during those classes, they had mentioned that you're going to be going into the world of work where you really need to learn computers because that's what's going to be happening. So I kept those skills up. And believe it or not, I still kept my skills up as far as typing was concerned because there could have been times I probably would have, if there wasn't a computer available, there was still the typewriter. So I tried to be as versed as possible.
Did you find in your travels a lot of people who had still not, you know, understood the basics of working on a computer?
Yes, I did. I found even with everyday tasks to do and in travels, found those that found computers challenging and trying to grasp the learning of computers. One of the main reasons was because of the jargon. It's trying to understand what this term meant, what that term meant, and on from there. And usually what I had done, in case there was a question mentioned about what does this mean, what does that mean, I tried to break down layman's terms what it meant. And in carrying out the task, what to do and what not to do. Because training on a PC is a little different than training on an Apple Macintosh device. Because when you mentioned earlier about WordPerfect, WordPerfect was different than the old, it wasn't really coming up yet. But I think it was Corel Draw or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And any other software that Apple Macintosh had. So there were those differences and some similarities at the time. And people found it confusing because everything was changing. And it was like, how do I adapt to this? How do I incorporate this with what I already do? And I got 9,999 other things to deal with. Now I got to deal with this. So how do you adjust that? So it was quite a period at the time.
Oh, I believe you, because so many things came out after WordPerfect. Transitioned into, you know, the regular computers, and instead of that big giant box that we said, I had about three of those, and I remember trying to carry that. Then you had to carry the big old keyboard and all the other stuff, and it was just you know. And now they got the flat screens. I was so happy when those came out, and it's a lot easier to carry. I mean, they first started off with a big stand under the flat screen, so it felt like it was a TV. And then, mm-hmm. you know, you got a little smaller ones. Then you got your two-in-one. So the computer has made so many conversions, you know, over the decades that it's amazing. And the other thing that bugged me the most about it was that each time you got one, it will be another model coming up soon. So you'll probably only keep that computer for about a year, and then you have to go get another one because the new mm-hmm. software will also be more advanced, and it wouldn't even work on the old computer because the processor wasn't fast enough. So that was just crazy. Now, let me ask you this. What was it that made you want to teach people, as difficult as it is for something like technology, what was it that made you want to teach people about computers?
Strongly, I believe that I was going to be able to do the best I can to help people overcome that obstacle of learning computers. But it was something, I believe, from my upbringing, especially over basically what my mom taught about, you know, helping your fellow man, helping the people to overcome problems, to do the best that you can as you help others. So I just took that belief and carried it over to doing it because, again, I was interested in computers and I loved them. Plus, if someone was struggling, I wanted to try to help them overcome their struggle. The other thing, too, is that I noticed, and I caught on to the fact that not everybody could catch on to computers like I could. I just about anything computers, I can catch on quick. There were people who it didn't mesh at all. It didn't gel at all. You say one thing and they're already lost. So I would at times be near by those who had trouble and I tried to help them out. But I had to make sure, because at times I didn't do it, whoever, let's say the trainer was, I was like the quote-unquote assistant trainer, although at times I wasn't supposed to be. And there have been few times I kind of got into trouble for that. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to. It's just that you were busy trying to help the other person, and this person need help so we can go along with the class.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. Those teachers are just, they already know and they already understand. So therefore, they're not thinking about the people. It's taking a little while longer for them to catch up with everything. And then, you know, other people in the class will pick it up so we can be helpful. Just never know.
No, never did, especially if it was done with, I don't know if they still call this at this time, but it was the term boot camp style, where it would be maybe if something was a training that would usually take a month or a month and a half, you do it either in a couple of days, you know, that type of training. That can really make your head spin because everything was crammed in a short amount of time. You can get through it, but it does take quite a lot of discipline to manage that.
Now, once you've completed college, and, you know, did you have to continue on getting certifications and additional education as, you know, the industry, you know, continue on with growth?
Actually, at first I didn't learn about certifications and everything until, it wasn't during college, it was, you know, pretty much like you said, way after college, because as I continue keeping my computer skills up to par, that's when I started learning about getting certifications, learning about what I needed to further knowledge as far as computers are concerned. In addition to that, what different specifications there are in the computer and technology world. A lot of people don't understand that if you are from the computer and technology realm, you do only this or you do only that. No, you're sadly mistaken. There are so many specifications, and even a specification has many sub-specifications of computer. There are those who go more on the technical realm. There are those who, like me, were more on the training software desktop realm, and those who go on the side of maybe it's technical but more on the engineering side and on from there. So it's a wide range of fields and specifications you can go into computer technology wise.
Okay, so now you decided to become an entrepreneur in this industry. Did you find it to be, you know, difficult when you first started? Because I believe there was probably a lot of people who were thinking of getting into that, because I remember when they had so many classes for this, that, and the other in computers. Did you find it a challenge to get started with your own business in this industry?
I did, because, number one, I didn't have everything in place. But I was going to do what I can and go for it anyway. I've had some past workings in which I had overseen a computer lab and had seen how things done and combine that with some of my past work experience and other positions. So what I did was, at first, I just went by memory of, okay, I might not have like a physical place to conduct my business except my home, but at the same time, I'm going to run it to the best of my ability. At times when I was at small business networking events, always try to help ask for advice from those who were more into the entrepreneurial world and had longer years with it than I, you know, what to do, what not to do, and all of that. And actually, around the 6th month of my business, I went through something similar to what I went through before. I went through like about a 5 or 6 week training on running a small business. And that really helped me because it expanded more on what I needed to do to run a small business. So whatever I was missing, actually I learned during that time. It was one of those, they used to say back in the day, one of those brown lunch series where during the lunch time you can bring a lunch with you, excuse me, and learn what you need to learn during that time, which is considered in the work world the lunch period from 12 to 2. So I went through that, and it helped me, and it also let me know how much further I had to go as far as knowing how to run a business, because I'm just getting starting. We're just getting started. I was laid off. It was like, okay, I got to make some money somehow.
Well,
I went for broke and went for what I know.
I totally understand that. now, you probably, you know, went through a lot in getting started. Did you have any trouble in finding the funding for this type of business to, you know, to help you along in getting started?
I did, because one, the unemployment was getting low. Number two, I couldn't expand it. I was told, nope, sorry, you expanded it the maximum numbers you could. I was still laid off, and at that time looking for, you know, something, and still getting the rejection letters and rejection calls and rejection, that was around that time, the rejection emails and all of that. I'm like, well, you know what, let me just keep going. And I slowly but surely started getting customers and all of that. As far as trying to get loans, that didn't work out because, hey, I was a new business. They didn't know me. And I had my business plan ready at the time. I was, you know, too much of a risk. How was I going to be able to pay the loan back? And I even had a plan on how I was going to do it. But because I was a new business and I didn't have experience, I didn't have traction, according to what they said, it was difficult. My parents, you know, helped out the best that they could and, at, you know, provided funds, which I'm grateful for. But even that even they got to a point, especially my father, like, okay, I understand, but, you know, this thing needs to make some money and all of that, which, you know, which was true. So I learned also the value, the real true value of a dollar, how it is as far as if you're an employee versus how it is when you're an entrepreneur. You really have to make sure you knew how to make that $5 stretch, that $5 stretch, that $10 stretch, that nickel dime penny or whatever. You had to learn to make it stretch. And how you budget it on the business side is different how you budget on the personal side. So I learned that. And there were times I had the customers. There were times that I went through without customers. But the one thing I was told by those who were seasoned entrepreneurs who I tried to hang around with as much as possible, it's when you're close to giving up that will test you. Because at your lowest point, you don't want to give up. But if you want to be in business, you got to keep going.
Now, let me ask you this. Given the challenges that you had and your business and working with computers, what kind of opportunities did you come across now that you're kind of seasoned in this industry?
I came across those contracts that were great and those contracts that didn't quite work out so well. But at the same time, I came across I'll do both. One was the first time that I had a state contract. Although it didn't go quite well, I did have the chance to know what was involved as you go, what I say, higher in gaining contracts and gaining such opportunities, in which I did computer training, and also how evolution-wise the computers were changing. As each opportunity came, it showed a different side of how the computer world was going to be. And then there were times when I had contracts, which I would say a couple of my most successful contracts. There was one in which I was doing a training for a large company in town. When Windows 7 was first coming about and changing from Windows Vista, the operating systems, for those who don't know, I did a comparison contrast training about Windows 7 versus Windows Vista, because the company was going to change, or was thinking of changing into Windows 7, but they weren't exactly sure, so they wanted to find out about it. And the one thing in that contract that kind of bothered me, but it educated me at the same time, they wanted a printed copy of the PowerPoint presentation that I did. So, you know, I did that, and I had my business name. So they said, this is great except for one thing. You're considered a subcontractor. I hadn't heard that term, and that was a new term to me. And I said, I know on the form you list me as a vendor. They say, yeah, the vendors are the subcontractors. We know you did the work, but in presenting it to the training, it has to have our name and logo on it and not yours. And that took me by surprise. And I thought to myself, did I say it? Wait a minute, is that the contract? I double-checked and looked and all of that. And it was like, yeah, it's on the contract. I was like, okay. That was a lesson on contracting. So it wasn't something else I wanted to do, but I had to, if I wanted to keep this contract, get paid, I had to, you know, oblige. And I had another one in which I did a small group training. And this was at the time when it was kind of backwards. It was Windows 10 at the time. We're starting to get to Windows 10. And the training that I had to conduct to the people, they still had Windows XP on their computers. That one was something else. But it was quite a good challenge, because here I am trying to keep my skills and everything honed, and at the same time I had to help people who still hadn't gotten to the current age yet as far as computers, because this was going to reflect on their work. And I wonder too how in the world they made it all this time with all this old equipment and everything, but they had no choice, they had to. And I learned about compliance too at that time. Sometimes compliance at times were the reasons why there wasn't any progression. Not a bad thing, but sometimes that happens in the corporate world.
So what would you say was the most challenging part of, teaching people when it came to, not say individuals, but businesses, business owners?
I would say one of the most challenging was that they were going to have to learn as well about the computers. Perfect example. I'm going to take that small group that I was training who had to have their equipment updated to having Windows 10 operating system on their computers, on their laptop. One of the trainees already had it on her computer, but the others didn't. What I did was I posed a question, and the question I posed was, let's say that there is a document that's a quarterly report, rather. It was to be due next month, but it's due in a couple hours. And your secretary or administrative assistant is at lunch, but they need you to send it. What are you going to do? The person who was a trainee said, I have to tell them they have to wait for my secretary to come back because she's going to be the person sending out the email. And I told her, well, they actually told you that they need it now, so you need to attach the document to email the report. And she said, oh, how do you do that? In the back of my mind, I thought, are you serious? How did you become a supervisor and not having to have this basic skill? But I had to hold it together because I was in a professional environment. So I told them, well, you have to go into your, I'm describing the process of what to do. And you have, it's more so now, but you have those in positions, supervisory, director, assistant director, all of that, who didn't feel that they needed to know about computers, but they actually had to, because it didn't hurt, because things were also changing at the time too, to where not only did anybody from a clerk to a secretary to administrative assistant have to know about computers, but you as a supervisor need to know as well, because what if something happened? You needed to know, and there was a lot of reluctancy too at the time. It wasn't easy, and you had those that it was pressure, I would say, because here it is, the changing of the tide in the work world, in which now you the supervisor, now you the director, now you the whatever other position that you had need to know something about computers as well. But there was reluctancy. They didn't want
to.
I
see. I see. Now, let me ask you this. What type of services do you currently offer? And I don't remember if I mentioned the company name of Your Computer Needs of Toledo, but and you're located in Toledo, Ohio. What type of services do you offer your clientele?
Well, still offer computer training consulting. I've expanded to, say, customize because not everybody has the same need and not everybody needs to learn the same thing. It's based on what the need is. So computer training as far as from computers, like you don't know anything about computers at all, to specifically the Microsoft Office suite. So Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook, Publisher, Access, and OneNote. So the Microsoft Office suite there. I also do small and large group trainings and computer consulting. The computer consulting expanded to that, I would say, probably around 10 years ago. So I added that. So the computer consulting part of it is where I consult with a company or a nonprofit or another entity, a faith-based organization, and assess how computer savvy that they are. Do they have the right equipment? Do they have updated equipment? There have been a few cases. Do they have equipment? And sometimes the answer was no. And how they can get from where they are to where they need to be, especially to be more technologically sound, because that, believe it or not, a lot of people don't think, a lot of companies don't think, that does reflect on your return on investment, also reflect on the reputation of your company, because if there's a task that can't be carried because someone is not computer literate enough to carry out the task, that's a problem.
Now, we have had a lot of issues with COVID-19 for companies that have had to either close or have all their employees work remotely. Can you provide some advice for a small business that, you know, wants to work remotely as, you know, per se, working from the office, because some people are still not comfortable going into a public environment. What kind of advice can you offer for someone who wants to do their work, you know, remotely, and what kind of equipment should they have?
Which is understandable. For working remotely, working from home, one, you'll need to have a laptop, of course. In some cases, if you would rather use a desktop, it would be if you are doing something in which you're more stationary, where you don't have to move a lot. If you have to move a lot, it's best that you have a laptop. You need to make sure as well that as far as your internet service, how are the terms as far as your internet service provider is concerned? If you are in an employee situation and your speeds as far as uploading and downloading of anything, materials, do they meet that specification? Because some workplaces have those particular requirements. Depending on what you're doing, you may need a specific landline type of phone and a headset. And definitely you need to have a quiet area to perform the task. In some cases, and it has expanded to where if you're doing chatting as part of your employment or as part of your business, it's not required as far as whether the background noise is a lot or not, because it's considered one of those non-phone opportunities. But at the same time, you need to have what's called an Ethernet cord, so you could be what's called wired. It's going to be required for you to connect that wired to the laptop and then also to the back part of what's called your modem or your router. Now, I know these are probably a few terms that is going to be new to people, but that is what you need to carry out the work, because the material or the work that needs to be submitted has to be transmitted directly through that wired road, I'll call it, going back and forth, instead of you being wireless and then if you're uploading something, it takes too long for whatever you're uploading to have happen, or it takes too long for something to be downloaded. So you have to have that. The software, you need to have updated software. It depends on industry, but you still need to have something that's of a word processing program, something that's of a spreadsheet, something that has to do with email and all from that. Sometimes you can go with an installed email software program. Sometimes you can just use your email from your browser, as it's called. I would say that's basically what's needed as far as working remotely. And I even help companies with this, because the one thing this pandemic did was open the door widely as far as who was computer literate and who was not computer literate. Not only that, it opened the door widely as to which company was able to handle things and transition to virtual, as opposed to companies that didn't know what in the world was going on, what in the world was being talked about, and how in the world they were going to survive all this.
Wow. Now, you have some speaking engagements that you do, and master classes. Do you want me to give you a moment to let everybody know what's going on now, like what you have planned right now?
Yes. As a matter of fact, tonight I'm one of the speakers for the Women of Vision, and I'll be talking about where business-wise are you now compared to when the pandemic came about. So I think it's about a couple of years. So where are you now? So I'll be talking about that. And that's going to be, as you said, or as I said, tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm quickly getting that. But as I get that, what I did a couple weeks ago as far as master class, which it was my first one, I admit I was a little nervous and scared and excited at the same time. The master class I had was, and it was entitled Basic Computer Maintenance for Busy Entrepreneurs. These, I'm going to call them devices, because you have not only your laptops these days and not only your desktops these days, you have your smartphones, you have your tablets, depending on, you have your drones and all of that, and they're maintained. There is that budget item of computer maintenance that sometimes is a little astronomical for a small business owner. So the master class that I had was one in which I showed step-by-step techniques on what you needed to do to clean your equipment, how to do it, what to use, the steps that you need to take to prepare your device to be cleaned, what to do and what not to do as far as that was concerned. So the overall, that's what that masterclass was. And I kept it an hour. I wanted to make sure I did that at that time because as small business owners, as entrepreneurs, yes, we can get extremely busy. Yes, we have a lot on our plate. Yes, there is the challenge of trying to get through the day, and you have a lot of the day to get through, if that makes any sense. So I kept it at that time frame to show that, yes, you can do what you need to do, and these are the simple steps that you can take in order to maintain your investment, because actually that's what it is.
So why don't you tell everyone how they can reach you, whether it's if you travel to them or you can do it remotely, you know, your contact information, and if you want, if you have an Instagram or Facebook mm-hmm. that you want to share.
Okay. What you can do, a couple of ways you can reach me. You can contact me, call or text to 419-304-4564. You can click on the contact link of yourcomputerneeds.net and it will come to me. I do provide on-site computer training. It will have to be, since COVID isn't over yet, it will have to be where a mask is worn and you still have to maintain the 6 feet distance. Now, there are situations in which, as you have mentioned before, we're all trying to acclimate and get back into being in public and all of that. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, there's still the safety factor. So the 6 feet will still have to be maintained. I do virtual training, and I have done that. As far as flying in, of course, I'll have to see what the COVID rules are for, depending on what state and city I would be traveling to. And also understand that the travel cost is part of the contract, that cost will also have to be included in that. But yes, I would come, but we would still have to do the COVID-19 regulations and still abide by them.
Okay. Well, that sounds good, because I'm glad you're able to travel and do all that. And I'm setting up a website for the podcast, and I'll add your link on there. So I want to thank you again for coming to the show and discussing this important information to our Black-owned businesses who are listening. It's very helpful to know what you need for computer usage in your business. I don't think computers are ever going to go away, but they continue to progress, and, you know, everybody's going to uh-huh. need some help in the future. So thank you again, Amber, for coming to the show. I know you'll be back again. And when you get your podcast back up, please let us know so we can share that information with everyone as well.
Mm-hmm. And I thank you again for having me. Greatly appreciate it. And, oh, before I forget, as far as Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and also YouTube, it is YCN as in Nancy, OTLLC05. And again, on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter.
Oh yeah.
YCNOT. Oh, it's over.
I think they cut us off.
Oh wow.
Well, there we got the story and everything, but they cut us off. And that's the one thing I don't like about it is that they don't have a button to give you extra time. You know, like
I remember
like
that
5 or 10 minutes. Like you used to be able to go into the setup on another page and then expand the time, but they don't even give you that option anymore. You can only get what you said you want.
Man.
But that's all right, because, I mean, it was a nice show, and it's going to be there to be downloaded for everybody who wants to and listen to it. And I'll be posting it on Twitter. I set up a Twitter page. I have a Facebook page for the podcast itself, so I can put all the different shows on there. And I don't know if you're familiar with this platform called Acast, A-C-A-S-T. It's free, but they do have some premium plans as well. But you can actually put your podcast episodes, upload them on there through your RSS and monetize your shows. There's another couple of places to do that too. Then there's this other one called Anchor. Anchor is one where you can record your podcast from your computer, and you can have guests on and everything. I might switch over to that so I can have more.
Yeah, I've heard of Anchor before. Yeah, yeah. But dang, BTI make it shoot. They cut you off.
I know.
I was like, okay, they still do that. Okay, it's cutting off. All right.
I know, that's the only thing I don't like, that and, you know, I mean, like, I remember when I used to have my music, I have to go find some more music so I don't have to keep on pushing a button. I want something to last through the entire interview or can loop itself. They should have an option where you can loop your music, too, but I don't see that. So I'm going to be looking around for another podcast place. Spreaker is good.
I remember Spreaker.
What's the other one? Riverside or something? Or Riverside FM or something like that. But some of them are trying to be, you know, too expensive. Eventually, I'll have my own platform because I found a company that allows you to create your own podcast platform similar to how BTR runs or whatever, and then you can have other people come and put their platforms on it. So I'm going to work on that. That one's a little bit more expensive because you own the entire platform and you control it and you keep the data and all that stuff. So that's down the line, but I'm planning to move the show to Las Vegas. Right now I'm in Atlanta, but I'm planning to move the show to Las Vegas. Because I'm going to add a sports show and an entertainment show, and I'm going to have a live podcast where it's like, you know, you see everybody in the studio. So I'm working on that. That's the next plan.
Okay.
But I want to thank you again for coming through and telling us about your business and sharing, you know, your experiences with the audience. I think it's great to be involved in that because the computer world is changing, especially when robotics come along and they use AI. All that stuff is going to change how we work with our computers.
It. Yeah. That's happening now.
I know. I use AI to build my websites, and I like AI, but, you know, I don't want to discount any human employment from people.
Right.
Cause I think I don't want it to be like iRobot and with the Will Smith movie. I don't want that to be happening, but I think it's I think it's good. I think they should find ways to, you know, help people still stay employed, you know, if they want to get into robots. I just don't think that the capitalism part of our world should take over that and just, you know, push people out of jobs. That would be horrible.
True, and push people out of business too. I mean,
Right.
You got those that, they're not as versed, but they are in business and they need to, have
like
their business
Amazon
survive.
Sucks at that. If you saw Amazon was planning on putting robots in their factories to do all the work that they
need
people
to
do. And on top of that, they're buying out businesses that sell the products and buying the trademarks to those certain products so they can sell it under their name. They don't need you anymore. Yeah, like they got your stuff. Then they will either buy you out or they create their own version. So most people who have small business don't have everything trademarked. So it's easy for somebody to come up with a replica and then just do their thing. You don't have a trademark, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
So people need to learn. So I'm going to do a show on trademarks eventually because people need to understand how they need to trademark before they franchise,
Or the way things are now, even before they even have a business, because it's like, some of this stuff, it's like, man, wish you knew some of the stuff, back at our time and all that. But when I had the money, looking to get, service marked and all that too. So,
okay. Well, hopefully
we'll
get you out here in Atlanta. I'm not leaving Atlanta anytime soon. But hopefully we can get you out here because I've come across a lot of people who are starting their businesses out here, and which is a great thing. And I guess they would need some help with computers and stuff like that. I think that would be a good thing. So, and then they could get you to come in for training and stuff like that. So,
yeah, real soon because our situation that we had.
Yep.
Yeah, and I still have
this new that is going to be built. They're working on it now, but it's a new complex. I don't know if you can call it a complex. It's more like a community that they're building up that's right next to the airport. And they're putting in office space, retail businesses, recreational stuff, hotels, maybe some housing, private housing, a new golf course, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a multicultural community, so it's going to be a lot of diversity in the business. Hopefully, they don't close it off like some of these places try to do out here. But we have a large concentration of African-American communities in the suburbs of Atlanta. Even though they want to make it like we only in Atlanta, the city, we're in the suburbs too. We even have prestigious subdivisions where you'll find a more wealthier business owners and and people who have money, black people. They're in the community, so people will want to make you think it's somebody else always doing that stuff, but we have our own. And everybody's not out here gangbanging, so I like to have people do more investigation into what they read on the news about Atlanta, because some people are doing that on purpose so they can try to gentrify Atlanta and push us further back into the burbs like they do in Philly. Philly used to be only it was a little more on the paler side of things, but now that is a diversity. Now they want to shut it down and put bad words in the media about it. So, which is horrible. But, we ain't going nowhere. We've been here over 400 years. I don't care what they try. We ain't going nowhere. We're trying to do a lot now, but we ain't going nowhere. We're going to continue to grow over this nation. So,
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Amber, and hopefully we can do this again because, in fact, in the future, I would like to do something on a specific topic when it comes to computers. Mostly what we were talking about with the using the AI and applying it to marketing and all this stuff. Since I'm going to school now mm-hmm. for marketing, I'm learning a lot mm-hmm. more about the usage of computers in that. So I'm going to have a future
okay.
show and have you come on. Maybe we can co-host, and then we'll have some guests come on, and we can just talk to them about it as well.
Ah, perfect.
Or I can put you in charge of all my stuff about computers and let you just, if instead of you trying to do a whole brand new podcast, we could do one of your podcasts on this network, and then we could just let you take
okay.
over. You can do that
mm-hmm.
anytime you want to. So I'm going to go.
Okay, we'll talk about that further.
Yeah, I'm going to go, and mm-hmm. I'm going to send you the link once this is uploaded.
Okay.
If you want to pass the, you know, keep the file for your own records, I'll send it to you so you
mm-hmm.
can have it. And then you just download it from there, from the BTR site.
That will work. And you know me, I'll be promoting and repurposing all that.
That'd be great. I appreciate it. Well, you have a good day,
you're
Amber.
Welcome.
And thank you again for coming on to the show.
You're welcome. And thank you again for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Of
and
course.
Prayerfully get me down to Atlanta real soon.
Yes, very soon. I'm working on it right now. So
okay.
I'll be in touch with you in regards to that, too.
Okay.
All right. Have a good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.